It is time to return to your seats. Get your Bible and come into the schoolhouse. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School. And turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to continue a lesson that was written for a Sunday school way back in 1922. A lesson called Jesus, Our Savior and King. And in just a moment, we're going to read some passages of Scripture that show that Jesus is the seed of David sitting on David's throne. This is lesson 178 of this Warren County Radio Bible School. Now, while you're getting your Bible, I'll remind you that this program is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And you will find our building on the right, about halfway between McMinnville and Viola, going from McMinnville to Viola, just across from Mount Zion Road at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain. This is the second building in that location. And even before then, there was a brush arbor that was built, and a gospel meeting was held, and the church was established there. And that was over 100 years ago. And we're still meeting in this location. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're talking about this Sunday school lesson about Jesus as our Savior and King. And I want to read a number of passages now that old Brother Elam had suggested that we read that show us how the Bible teaches that Jesus is the seed of David on David's throne. To begin with, we look at the text from Matthew. Well, I thought I had that there. Let me turn to there in this book. Matthew chapter 21, and in verse 5, we read where this Jesus coming to Jerusalem was fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." I also want to turn to Mark chapter 10. Let me turn to that in my Bible. This is Mark chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 10. Mark records these words this way. "Blessed is the kingdom that cometh, the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Let's turn to the book of Acts, and this is Acts chapter 2. And in verse 25 through 36, we read these words. "For David saith concerning him, I beheld the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover my flesh shall dwell in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou give thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou madest known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of gladness with thy countenance. Brethren, I may say unto you freely of the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us unto this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he foreseeing this spake of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he left into Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus did God raise up, whereof we are all witnesses, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath poured forth this which ye now see and hear. For David ascended not into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified. I want to return to the book of Hebrews. We read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and in verse 9, but we beheld him who hath been a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. By that grace of God, he should taste of death for every man. So Jesus is crowned. That means he's king. That means he's on his throne. And therefore he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies that a seed of David would sit on the throne. The word Christ means anointed. Prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, and Jesus is God's anointed. Why believe he is now God's anointed in being that prophet, and God's anointed in being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and not believe that he is God's anointed in being king over the kingdom of our father David, and therefore on David's throne? The quotations from Matthew, Mark, and Luke in giving the prophecy of Zechariah declare that he fulfilled this prophecy. And Peter says, God fulfilled his promise to David when he raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him to his own right hand and made him both Lord and Christ. We read in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Since this has been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth, since he is now the Prince of Peace, since he has received the government, Matthew 28:18, that says all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. There's a passage here I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24 and 25. And here we have it, where it says, then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he hath abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That means Christ is reigning now. He is now upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. Suppose some wise Jews had undertaken several hundred years of any time before Jesus was born to tell how these prophecies would be fulfilled. Not only Zechariah 9:9 and Isaiah 6 and 7, but let's look at Amos chapter 9, 14 and 15. Amos chapter 9, 14 and 15. Here's where God says, I will bring back the captivity of my people, Israel, and they shall build in the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall go no more, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, saith Jehovah our God. And there's many similar prophecies after this sort. Now, if someone before Jesus had tried to explain this, they would have found their fulfillment in a poor carpenter of Nazareth, or in a humble peasant of Galilee riding on an ass's colt, or in this lowly man's being led as a sheep to the slaughter, whose judgment of being innocent of all false charges and unrighteous acts in his humiliation? Would they find it in him as a lamb that was taken away, and in his crucifixion between thieves? They would not have expected it to have been fulfilled that way. Indeed, they would not. They did picture out a fulfillment of these prophecies and rejected Jesus as their king and killed him because God did not fulfill these prophecies as they had expected they would be fulfilled. This manner of foretelling how unfulfilled prophecies will be fulfilled is stated by Peter as follows. Concerning what salvation the prophet sought and diligently searched, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you they did minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things angels desired to look into. 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12. Angels and inspired prophets knew that God had said these things, and they studied them, and the prophets taught what God had foretold. But neither the prophets nor angels knew when these prophecies would be fulfilled, or in what that way they would be fulfilled. It was not necessary to know. When they were fulfilled, as stated, the wise men among the Jews rejected God's fulfillment of them, and in their ignorance they helped to fulfill them by murdering their Savior. Other wise men now, in their ignorance of unfulfilled prophecy, may help to rend the spiritual body of Christ and thereby fulfill his prediction that it is impossible, but that occasions of stumbling should come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were well for him if a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were thrown into the sea, rather than he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Just so now, all should study prophecy, fulfilled and unfulfilled, and should teach all that God says through them. But when men begin to search and seek diligently what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who is in the apostles and prophets, points out, when he speaks in yet unfulfilled prophecy, and especially the things which, as in olden time, angels did not know, and do not stop there, as the prophets did and angels did, but teach their speculations as the truth of God, they are not only treading forbidden paths, but generating strife. God will fulfill all his promises and bring to pass all his prophecies, and faith in him and trust in Christ implicitly, rely on him to do so, knowing that not one jot or tittle of his word can fail. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now that's the end of that lesson. On the following page, we have a review lesson. It's called Jesus, the World's Savior. And the text for this is in Luke chapter 7. So let me turn over there to Luke. Well, as I look at this time, I see we're going to be out. We're going to look at this next week, the review lesson on Jesus as the world's Savior. And in that time remaining, I want to go over some of the lessons that we've had from Elam, because we're almost through with his Sunday school lessons for 1922. And then that means next week I'll be able to introduce a new set of lessons that are coming for the Sunday schools of 1923. So as we bring this class to a close, make sure you get your Bibles whenever you hear that bell and be a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School, and come visit us when you can at the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe, and you'll be welcome to our worship. and see how we're trying to worship after that old New Testament pattern of worship.